Imagine a world where some of Islam's fiercest opponents unknowingly become its greatest supporters. At times, even the most determined disbelievers play a key role in fulfilling God's divine plan. In today's video, we'll explore powerful examples of how this has happened throughout history. Session 621, Chapter 4, Verse 44, A Continuation. Did you not see those who were given a portion of the book, purchasing misguidance and wanting you to be misguided from the way? Chapter 4, Verse 44. In the previous session, we discussed how every heavenly religion before Islam had prophecies foretelling the arrival of Muhammad. This was to ensure that when the final messenger arrived, their followers would not be taken by surprise, recognize him, and say, "Our prophet informed us of this." God says, "God took a pledge from the prophets, saying, 'If, after I have bestowed scripture and wisdom upon you, a messenger comes confirming what you have been given, you must believe in him and support him. Do you affirm this and accept my pledge as binding on you?' They said, 'We do.' He said, 'Then bear witness, and I too will bear witness.'" Chapter 3, Verse 81. As our world grew more interconnected through advancements in communication and transportation, the divine message became unified. There is no longer any need for a new message or messenger after Islam and our beloved Muhammad. All the previous prophets and messengers foretold the coming of Muhammad and testified to the truth of his message. In turn, he, peace be upon him, and the message of Islam affirmed the teachings of the earlier prophets. Islam did not replace their messages, but reinforced them with the truth. Why? Because all the prophets are united on the same divine path, as they were all sent with the same foundational guidance from God. If you were a deeply religious person, following the teachings of an earlier prophet, and you heard about Muhammad's message, you might have rejected it out of zeal or a strong attachment to tradition. That is a reasonable response and a logical position. Thus, God prepared them by placing in their scriptures the seed that clarifies that a final messenger is yet to come. Notice the careful wording of the Quran when it says, "those who were given a share of the scripture." It does not say they had the whole scripture. Saying "a share" leaves open the possibility that some parts of the message were no longer fully known to them, thereby excusing some of their actions. In another verse, God says, "When they dishonored their pledge, we condemned them and hardened their hearts." So they distort the words of the scripture out of context and have forgotten some of what they were warned against. You will always hear of treachery on their part, except that of a few. But forbear and forgive them, for God loves those who do good. Chapter 5, Verse 13. And since some genuinely forgot parts of the gospel, they are excused. But those among the people of the book who had sufficient knowledge were expected to have their ears open, eagerly awaiting the arrival of the final messenger. This was well known to them decades before Muhammad's arrival. How do we know? Listen to their own words against the Arabs of Medina. When a scripture came to them from God, confirming what they already had, and though before that they were praying for a victory over the unbelievers, when there came to them that they recognized, they rejected it. God's curse is on the unbelievers. Chapter 2, Verse 89. The Jews of Medina used to say to the idol worshippers among the Arabs, "We are awaiting the final prophet whom Allah will send. We will believe in him, follow him, and fight alongside him against you. We will kill you, the killing of Ad and Iram." They were holding fast to faith and the Torah. We ask, how can anyone who boasts about this disbelieve in Muhammad? The disbelievers of Quraysh did not say, "We are people of the book awaiting a heavenly messenger." In fact, they were far removed from the heavens, as a long period had passed without prophets. So, it was expected that when the messenger came, the people of the book would race to believe in him, while others might drag their feet. Allah had granted them a remarkable advantage, yet because of their arrogance and prejudice, they did not benefit from it. God says, "The faithless say, 'You are not a messenger.' Say, 'God is a sufficient witness between you and me, and anyone else who has knowledge of the book.'" Chapter 13, verse 43. Allah honored the people of the book with knowledge and made them witnesses to the truthfulness of Muhammad's message, with Allah Himself as a witness over them. What a great privilege! Yet they paid no attention and chose to board the sinking ship of stubbornness. God says, "There came to them that they recognized, they rejected it." Why would they reject something they dearly prayed for? Because the new prophet, who was not an Israelite, challenged both their political authority and the power of the religious leaders. We need to remember an important truth. Whenever God establishes a matter of belief in the world, there will be those who oppose it for personal gain, mistakenly thinking they can undermine Allah's cause. On the surface, it often seems to work for a while. We remind them, "You believe you are advancing your cause, but in reality, God's word reigns supreme, whether you like it or not." More significantly, Allah will turn your opposition into a force that advances His message, while you remain the ultimate losers. Take the case of the Jews of Medina. For years before the advent of Islam, they proudly informed the quarreling Arab tribes that the time for the coming of a new prophet was near. They even threatened to join him in fighting the Arabs. When Muhammad, peace be upon him, came and declared his call from the Lord, the idol-worshipping Arabs said, "This is the prophet the Jews warned us about. We should rush to believe in him before they do." We ask, did they serve Islam or not? They most certainly did. Thus, no disobedient person should ever think they can extinguish God's light, for He will perfect His light to the world, even if, especially when, the disbelievers despise it. Let's look at another example in the Quran, where Allah predetermined the outcome and behavior of those who opposed His message. God says, "The foolish people will say, 'What has turned them away from the prayer direction they used to face?' Say, 'East and west belong to God. He guides whoever He will to the right way.'" Chapter 2, verse 142. This verse quotes the disbelievers' statement before they even said it. The verb "will" points to future actions. More importantly, God described whoever says this as foolish. All the disbelievers had to do when they learned that the Muslims changed the direction of their prayer, Qibla, from Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem to the Kaaba in Mecca, was to remain silent. Had they remained silent, they could have discredited the entire Quran. It was the perfect opportunity for the disbelievers of Quraysh, the hypocrites, and the Jewish elites of Medina to raise doubts about Islam. They, however, could not help themselves and said exactly what the Quran predicted. Why? Because they were blinded by hate, so eager to attack Islam, as they are still to this day, that the thought of not saying anything did not even occur to them. Thus, the label of fools is a perfect description. Allah is indeed best aware of His creation. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, "Allah supports His religion even through a sinful person."
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِّنَ الْكِتَابِ يَشْتَرُونَ الضَّلَالَةَ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن تَضِلُّوا السَّبِيلَ
The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Convey my teachings to the people, even if it is only a single verse. Please take a moment to subscribe and to share with your family and friends. Visit us at www.qurangarden.com.